Now, I'm going to try to play a solo on these bells up here, okay? So, just kidding. Come tonight to the Christmas Eve service. Come tonight, and we're going to be singing carols tonight using the chimes up here. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful service. Everybody got their Christmas shopping out of the way? Anybody not got your Christmas shopping done? Shame, shame on you. Me, I went to one shop, got all my shopping done in 30 minutes. It was great. $2 shop, man. You can't beat it. Can't beat it. This morning's message, I'm just kidding, by the way. I'm not that cheap, okay? This morning's message, what will you find at Christmas? What will you find at Christmas? What is it that you want for Christmas this year? You ask the kids this question, you're going to get all kinds of interesting answers. I remember last year for my kids, it was this toy called a Tamagotchi. They had to have a Tamagotchi. Maybe it's the Xbox 360. What else is the new must-have gifts for kids? Pardon? There's a version 4 of Tamagotchi, and you know what? I bet you next year there will be a version 5. Gotta have the next one. What? Version 5 overseas. What other big gifts are must-haves this year? Pardon? There's a new Nintendo out. What else? I don't hear anything else. There's nothing else this year? That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Little boy, for weeks, had been bugging his parents for a Christmas gift. For weeks, he kept telling them, I really would like a watch for Christmas this year. I'd really like a watch. And like a lot of little kids do, they kept bugging their parents and bugging their parents until finally one day, the dad said, Son, I don't want to hear you tell me that one more time. If you say you want a watch one more time, you're not going to get one. And that night at dinner time, they got ready to eat and say grace, and they asked the little boy, would you say grace for us tonight? The little boy said, sure, but I'd like to share a verse of Scripture. And the verse of Scripture was where Jesus said in Mark 13:37, I saith unto you what I've already told you before, watch. Appropriate use of Scripture. We spend a lot of our Christmas time searching, don't we? We search for bargains. We search for the perfect gift. I hate shopping for gifts. I really do. Not because I don't like giving. I just hate trying to find the perfect gift. We search for the right decorations, for Christmas lights. You go to Botany and you're searching for what before you search for anything else? A parking spot. It's crazy. And many people at Christmas time, they're too busy to find what is really, really important. Many people at the first Christmas were too busy to realize what had happened. The politicians didn't realize what had happened. The religious people didn't realize what had happened, what was given to them. The innkeeper didn't realize what was given. There were a few people who enjoyed the first Christmas about 2006 years ago. A few people, because they were looking for it. In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, this will be a sign to you, the angel said to the shepherds, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. When the angels had left them, verse 15, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. They found Jesus because they were searching for Him. They were seeking Him. Later on, another group, the wise men found Jesus because they were seeking for Him. They were looking. They said in Matthew 2, we've come from the east and we've come to worship Him. We're seeking this Savior, We're seeking this Jesus, this Messiah. Now the question I have for you is, what are you going to find this Christmas? What is it that you're looking for? The bargains, the right gifts, the newest and latest gadget or toy? God wants you to seek Him. The Bible says, seek and you will find. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Whatever you're looking for, you're going to end up finding. There are times that my kids are doing naughty. Many times they're doing naughty. And you know what I say to them often? I don't know if you as parents say the same things, but I look at them in the eye and I say, are you looking for trouble? You ever do that? Are you looking for trouble? Why? Because they're seeking it. They're looking for it. Some people, however, in life look for money. That's what they're seeking. And let me tell you, if you're seeking for money, do you ever really find it? No. You keep seeking. That's a futile endeavor. Some people seek success. And if you've been around in corporate world for any length of time, you'll realize that you never really get there. As soon as you achieve success, what used to be success, the goalposts have moved. And you have to keep going. And it does not stop. Some people are seeking respect, some honor. What is it that you're seeking? Christmas is about you getting to know God. God says, I know everything about you. I know the good, the bad, and the... You've seen the movie. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows everything about you. And He still says, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And so He sent Jesus at Christmas to give us that relationship with Him. And I hope at some time in the year 2006, you've been honest with yourself and slowed down long enough to ask yourself some questions such as, what is the point of everything? Why am I here? Why do I get up? Why do I go to work? Why do I make money? Why do I come home, watch some TV and go to bed, get up and do it all over again? What is the point? I hope at some time you've asked that question. Is there a God? This Christmas, God wants to give you a few gifts. What will you find at Christmas? The first gift is this. You can find forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You can find forgiveness. He is Christ. A Savior has been born. Why do I need a Savior? Why do you need a Savior? What is it that you need saved from? The simple truth is this. I'll put it very simply. Heaven is a perfect place. It is perfect. Therefore, you cannot be in heaven because you are not perfect. Anybody not understand that? Anybody here perfect? Good. We're all in the same boat. You are not perfect. If you were in heaven, heaven would not be perfect anymore. Okay, it's like finding the perfect church. If you find the perfect church, don't join that church because it would not be perfect anymore. Heaven is a perfect place, but the problem is us. God is perfect. The problem is us. We're not perfect. We all sin. We all have this problem that's called sin. Therefore, only perfect people get to go to heaven. And so that leaves you and I in a lot of trouble. So God made another plan. God had a plan. He sent us a Savior. He allows us to get to heaven on somebody else's ticket. He provides the ticket for us. And He says, here, it's a free gift. if you'll just take my ticket, you can also be in heaven. I will clothe you with a robe of perfection, with a robe of righteousness, so that you can be in heaven, and heaven would still be a perfect place. Aren't you glad heaven is a perfect place? Do you ever get tired of seeing the nonsense that goes on in the world today? There is not peace everywhere. There is a lot of hate. There is a lot of violence, a lot of bad, sad things that happen. Aren't you glad that we have heaven to look forward to? But you got to realize, because it's perfect, we can't get there the way we are. We need a Savior. And so that's why Jesus was born. And nobody is perfect. You've heard of Santa's list. You know what list Santa has? Is naughty and... Is it naughty and nice or naughty and good? Okay, naughty and good, naughty and nice, one or the other. The problem is, in truth, we are all on the naughty list. Okay? We're all on the naughty list. The Bible says all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. I don't know about Santa, but we've all fallen short of God's glory. And that's the list that is important. That's the list that really counts. None of us are perfect. I read this on a Christmas card. I thought it was fantastic. Maybe you've read it too. It's not brand new. It says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. The Savior being born is a priceless gift. It's a priceless gift. You could not find it at Smith & Coe's. You can't find it at the warehouse, wherever the $2 shop, wherever you do your shopping. It's a priceless gift, this gift of a Savior. How do I let Christ save me? How do you let Christ save you? It's not difficult. In fact, it's real simple, and I'll spell it out for you. It's called R-E-L-A-X. Spells? Relax. You simply relax and you trust Him. Acts 10:43. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Through whose name? Jesus. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. You believe. You let go. You stop trying and you start trusting Him. You stop looking at yourself and relying on yourself, and you look totally to Him and you receive His forgiveness. You believe in Him. You trust in Him. I remember reading a books of a Chinese theologian named Watchman Nee. Anybody read Watchman Nee stuff before? Some stuff. In it, he gives an example at one time of being at a camp where the people were swimming and there were lifeguards around, and somebody was out in the water flailing, splashing around, and going under. They were drowning. And he looked at the lifeguard, and the lifeguard was standing there watching and waiting. And he's like, aren't you going to save him? Yes, I am. And the guy's splashing around and choking and gasping, and he's standing on the side. Aren't you going to save him? Or are you going to let the man drown? And he waits. Finally, the man in the water just kind of goes limp and gives up and starts to go under. And the guy, the lifeguard on the side, jumps in, is at his side in a second, grabs him, pulls him in. And he explains to him that as long as the person is thrashing and fighting and panicking, he would pull everybody under who would try to rescue him. But when he finally gives up, when he finally lets go and relaxes It's a piece of cake to grab him, pull him in, and rescue him and save him. With us as people, God wants you to come to a place that you realize, I can't save myself. I give up. I am not strong enough. I am not able enough. I cannot do it. And God can save you. Receive His gift. The second gift is peace of mind. We saw last week, Isaiah 9:6, He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Most people have no idea what true peace is, I think. Real peace isn't just the absence of conflict. Sometimes in the world we have peace, but what we really have is absence of conflict. That's not the same as the presence of a genuine, real, loving relationship. What if Jennifer and I, Jennifer, my wife here, okay? What if Jennifer and I, our relationship was based on peace, which is the absence of conflict? Is that a good relationship? Not really. It's cohabitation. It is getting along together without killing each other. And some of you say, well, I'd like that. But it's not the same as the presence of a genuine, real, and loving relationship. I have known people, my grandparents on one side, for the last years of their life, they cohabitated in a form of peace together. They lived in separate bedrooms in the same house. They had their own separate lives. And they had peace. But that is not the same as having a genuine, caring, loving relationship. And that's what God wants to have with you. People are looking for peace, and they try to find it various ways. In this country, I know some people during the holiday time try to find peace by drinking themselves silly. And they spend the next few days trying to recover from a night of peace on earth. What a waste. What a shame. Some people try to find peace by simply keeping busy. Have you ever known somebody whose life is in such turmoil and they try to find peace in their own life and in their own heart and their own soul by trying to keep busy all the time? And they cannot slow down long enough, because if they slow down, they have to think. And then reality sets in. And so they are busy. There's lots of people like that. There's lots of workaholics out there that cannot stop. They will not stop. They don't want to slow down. And they are looking for peace. And I know that a lot of people try to find peace through other means, like fortune tellers, palm readers, anything that perhaps would give them a little glimpse, a little bit of peace in their life, and knowing something that they perhaps don't know. But I'm here to tell you that real peace of mind is only going to be found in having peace with God through the Savior of your soul, Jesus Christ, becoming friends with God. Real peace is knowing that no matter what I do, God still loves me. That's peace. Real peace is knowing that no matter what happens in my life, God is not going to leave me alone. Real peace is knowing that no matter what happens in 2007, that God is going to be beside me. No matter what happens in my life, God is going to be there, and He cares for me, and He's going to see me through it. He's going to see me through it. Real peace is knowing that even if I die, I have eternal life in heaven. There is nothing that anyone can do to me to take away that peace. That's real peace. There are a few things that rob us of this peace, though. And maybe you're here this morning, and in your heart and in your mind, you're saying, that's the peace I need. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. And maybe you've been looking for it the wrong ways. But inside you know that's what I want. But there's a few things that can rob you of that. The first is this, guilt. Guilt. You don't have to walk out of here with guilt this morning. You don't have to. God says, I sent a Savior to wipe away your sins so that you can be forgiven. Your guilt cleansed. God says, I will take away your sin as far as the east from the west. I will throw it into the deepest ocean to be found no more, that He will remember it no more. He's not going to hold it against you later and hold it over your head and say, you messed up again. I forgave you, but now you did it again, so... Guilt, though, is a killer, and it will rob you of peace. Are you living with guilt in your life? You ever used to play with Etch-a-Sketch? The little board, this was long before the computer stuff, but the little board, and you used to draw on it with these two knobs. And sometimes you would fill up that thing and make a big mess out of it. And what do you do when you make a mess? Well, I used to shake it up. Used to shake it up and it all clears and becomes a blank gray screen. That's what God wants to do with your life. Well, maybe shake you up a little bit. But He wants to wipe the slate clean. He wants to wipe the slate clean. Offer forgiveness if you will receive it. The second thing that will rob you is something called grief. Grief. The truth is, many people at this time of year are in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. Grief from the past. Christmas brings up all kinds of hurtful memories. Maybe it's bad relationships. Bad memories of childhood. Maybe it's broken relationships. But you were never meant to handle that hurt all alone. God says, cast all your cares on me. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. Are you hanging on to that grief? You can leave here with peace. The third thing that robs you of peace is something called grudges. Something called grudges. Guilt, grief, and also grudges. Being resentful. You feel guilty when you hurt other people. When you feel resentful or carry grudges when other people hurt you. The fact is, you will be hurt in life. Intentionally or unintentionally. Either way, you will be hurt. People get hurt. We all get hurt in life. But how you respond to that hurt will determine your life. It will determine the peace that works in your life. God says, forgive. As you've been forgiven, now you forgive others. As you've been forgiven. You say, I can't. I've been hurt too much. And the truth is, you can't. That's why you need Jesus Christ in you to give you the power to be able to forgive other people. Don't try to forgive on your own strength. That only goes so far. But when you have the peace of Christ, the peace of God working in you, you're able then to offer forgiveness. So what is robbing you of peace today? Is it guilt that you're carrying? Leave here today with a clean slate. Is it grief? Cast all your cares on Him. Is it grudges? Forgive as Christ forgives you. But you first need to receive His forgiveness. And finally, the third thing that you can find is this called eternal life. Eternal life. Let me give you a couple of facts in life. Simple ones that you know. Number one fact, we're all going to die someday. Okay, lovely Christmas thought. We're all going to die someday. That's the truth. The Bible says that bodily exercise profits a little. But exercise unto godliness has eternal profit and consequence. Bodily exercise does profit, and it allows you to live a good, healthy life and to serve God all your life. And I thank God for that. Jen and I are focusing on getting in shape right now. Right, Jennifer? She always gets embarrassed. Chris here at the back has given us of his time and given us a gift of helping us get in shape. Chris, read your hand. Thank you, Chris. And, you know, I just am so thankful for that. But I want to tell you something. That is only a part. That is only to keep us doing God's work here. But God made you for eternity. God made you to exist forever. We're all going to die someday. So you'd be silly to put all your focus on this, however long you have here, 70, 80, 90 plus years, and to neglect eternity. And to neglect preparation for eternity. That would be foolishness. But so many people do it. Number two, you're going to spend more of your life on the other side than you are here. You're going to spend far more of your life in eternity than you are here. Are you prepared? In John 5, verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. God says, I want to take care of your past regrets, your present problems, and your future. Your future fears, your future worries. I want to take care of all this and give you everlasting life. There's a word for that. We call it salvation. We call it being saved, being born again. Problem is, many people don't know what it is that they're looking for in life. They are looking for something, but they're looking in the wrong places. There's an emptiness inside, and people try to fill it with things. Many people try to fill it with busyness, with money, with often the wrong kinds of relationships. And the whole time inside, you're really looking for God, and you don't realize it. You're looking for God. Christmas is God wanting to communicate with us. He wants a relationship with us. So He sent us a baby, a child, a human, a Savior. If God wanted to communicate with cows, He would have sent a cow. If God wanted to communicate with the dogs, He would have sent a dog. But He wanted to communicate with you. So He sent a man. A human being. He became one of us in order to save us. But like all Christmas presents, like all presents, it must be what? Received, opened. It must be taken. God sent a gift. It was a gift for the whole world, but the whole world has not received the gift. My question is, will you receive that gift? Have you received that gift? Would you stand with me, please? What is it that you will find this Christmas? In a few minutes, we're going to do something special. We're going to do something that, as a church, we have not done in the past, to my knowledge. In a few moments, we're going to observe together the Lord's Supper in the AM service. But first I want to share something with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul, when instructing the church on taking the Lord's Supper, he tells them that a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And so, I'm going to give you the opportunity now to examine yourself. Examine yourself before. I want you to examine, are you in the faith? The Lord's Supper is for those who are saved, baptized believers. That's what it's for. It's a remembrance of our Savior and what He has done for us. Are you in the faith? This is an important time. We must be in the faith. That's why I would encourage you, parents, don't let your children partake of the Lord's Supper unless they have made a profession of faith and follow the Lord in baptism. This is not just for everybody. This is for those who are saved and baptized. I also want to give you time to examine not only if you're in the faith, if you are unsure, if you've never received the gift, take care of that now. When we have an invitation time, step out, come to the front, have a word of prayer with somebody, and we can show you, we can just talk with you and lead you through receiving Jesus today, receiving His gift of eternal life. For you Christians, maybe it's a time that you need to spend in confession with God. Examine your life. Maybe it's a time that you need to ask, is there something that you have against another brother or sister? Again, Jesus said if you come to the temple and you bring an offering and you remember that you have something against another brother or a sister, leave your offering, stop what you're doing, go and be reconciled first, and then come and do your offering. That's how important relationships are to God. So maybe there's that resolution. But whatever it is, we're going to take this invitation time and, according to God's Word, have a time of self-reflection, self-examination before we get ready for the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, I pray now that You would move in our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for the gifts that Jesus offers to us. Forgiveness, peace, eternal life. Lord, I pray that if anyone here has not received that, they've not accepted that gift, that today would be that special day that they come and they acknowledge, they realize that missing something in their life is You. Lord, I pray that You would prepare us as a church for the communion table. Lord, let each of us examine ourselves now during this invitation and respond to You accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.